when I started to dig a little bit deeper and started to realize that some of the foods I was eating, and even though they were clean and healthy forms of grains and they were soaked and sprouted, I was cooking beans from scratch and eating tempeh as my soy. A lot of these foods can be irritating to the gut when they're consumed, you know, over and over again. And then when I got the diagnosis that I had Hashimoto's thyroiditis and my thyroid was being compromised, I realized that these foods were even more of a hindrance to my health.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and entrepologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. My guest today is no stranger to the health and wellness world. Marnie Wasserman's life is rooted in healthy eating, healthy living, and being a healthy mom. Not only is she a nutritionist and chef, but she's also the host, co-host of the Ultimate Health Podcast and now the new Ultimate Baby Podcast. She's the author of Fermenting for Dummies and Plant-Based Diet for Dummies. And Marnie uses her passion and experience to educate individuals and mamas on how to adopt a real food diet and balanced lifestyle through her simple, natural strategies. What you'll hear in this interview are not only the strategies that Marnie uses in her own life, but you'll hear a woman who walks the talk. Marnie is a naturally born entrepreneur, although she wouldn't admit it. She's frequently my example when I'm speaking to other clinicians, how when you put your passion first, your business will naturally follow. Marnie is so adept at putting out high quality work that she's had one business success after another. She is transparent in how she informs her own health decisions, and that transparency and natural capacity to teach have made her a master educator in the realm of healthy eating and healthy living, and now healthy parenting. I have known Marnie for many years. I admire her work deeply, and I am so excited for the opportunity to bring her to this audience. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Marnie Wasserman. Marnie Wasserman, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm so looking forward to this conversation. We were just sharing before this got started that that I get updates on your life through our mutual friend, Jen Oliver. And you and I have crossed paths pretty consistently over the last several years. And I'm really looking forward to the opportunity today to sit down and really understand where you are at in the evolution of your journey as a nutritionist, as a new mom, as a podcaster, as a really influential voice and light post in the health and wellness space. So, Marnie, thank you so much for being here. And I would love to just get started with you sharing with my audience, in case they don't know you, which is probably highly unlikely, but in case they don't know you, a little bit about your journey as a nutritionist right up to where you are now.
Okay, well, the journey started really young because I've always been interested in health and wellness and food, always been a foodie. But in terms of starting it as a path to where I wanted to take my career, I did kinesiology and health sciences, and that opened up the door for me learning about nutrition, unfortunately, from a very quantitative angle. It was very, you know, protein, carb, fat, but it gave me a little bit of a foundation. And I'm like, ooh, I want more. I want to learn more about this. And I jumped forward into becoming a dietitian, which very quickly flew away because I was so not about to go that path too, which was very, very treatment focused nutrition as opposed to preventative. And when I found out about the Institute of Holistic Nutrition, I was just like blown away that there was a program out there that completely embodied everything I wanted to learn about nutrition and take everything I was kind of learning on my own to another level. So I did that. And that opened up the door to go into culinary school. So there's been like a really nice sequential path along my journey. And culinary school was kind of the icing on the cake, no pun intended, because that showed me how much I loved not only to learn about nutrition, but to get into the kitchen, work with my hands. And I decided at that point I wanted to start teaching cooking classes. So fast forward 10 years, I opened up a food studio and I taught cooking classes in Midtown Toronto. And I got to immerse myself in that world and I loved it. I know we'll get into this hopefully a little bit later, but my path when I opened up the food studio was focused on vegetarian and plant-based wellness, and that has since evolved. But that was a really fun part of my journey. And then I met my husband and now partner, Jesse Chappis, somewhere in that span of 10 years when I was opening up the food studio. And a year into our relationship, we started the Ultimate Health Podcast, and that pushed things forward in another direction. So here I was now doing an online aspect of educating about wellness and health and nutrition. And that started to grow and become really fun and really interesting for us. It started to make money. It was something that I was becoming really passionate about. And I ended up closing my food studio and then venturing onto the journey of the podcast world. And Jesse and I did that for about 6 years, and he's still taking on the Ultimate Health Podcast. And I now have ventured off and done the Ultimate Baby Podcast, because since then we've had a little baby girl, and that has really shown me where my passion really is, especially at this stage of my life. Everything that I've learned up until now is all built up to this point where I'm able to now, put all my energy and everything I've learned into being a mom and into my baby and into this new space. So I have a new podcast, the Ultimate Baby Podcast, where I'm now educating moms and moms to be about living their best life and raising a super healthy baby. So that was a very, very brief overview, but it at least gives a little bit of a timeline as to where I've been.
Yeah, well, and I think the thing about you and talking about health is you really are one of those people who's been there, done that. You've been there, done that from an entrepreneurial perspective, but also on your own health journey. And I want to get into that side, but I do want to acknowledge this entrepreneurial undercurrent, which sort of punctuates each of these stages of your career. Were you always an entrepreneur?
No, it's something I never actually thought about until it kind of happened. I didn't really know exactly what line of business or where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do. When I was in culinary school, I knew it was going to be something in the food realm, whether that meant I was going to work in a restaurant or, work with a catering company or maybe start my own. But I didn't really think about it in terms of an entrepreneur. And it's interesting how it just kind of happened. Like when I came home from culinary school, I just said one day to my parents, I'm like, I'm going to start teaching cooking classes. Can I use your home for my business? And I put out my first flyer, my first email, called up a couple of my mom's friends to see if they would come and, come join my first cooking class. And there it started. So I didn't have a business sense. I didn't have a foundation of knowing where things were going to go and creating this whole plan with numbers and figures and timelines. None of that. It was just like, cooking classes sound like fun. Let's see what this is like.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because you are an example that I speak to when I'm talking to new graduates in the realm of naturopathic medicine or other regulated health practitioners. And I use you as an example because one of their biggest fears is they come out of school and they share, they're like, I love what I do, but I don't want to sell myself. I'm not selling this. I don't want to sell out. I don't want to do all these things. And the thing that I love about the passion that you put into the world is that you transform people's lives. It's not about the numbers and the money and what's the best strategy to sell people health. It's what's the best strategy to inspire people to have change. And you do it so well that people naturally are attracted to your brand. And I've watched that in watching your career really over the last 10 years. So you are an example that I speak to consistently on that side. You're this natural entrepreneur, but you're selling better health. You're not selling a product. And I love that about the work that you put into the world.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So if we're looking at your career, and we've touched on this entrepreneurial piece, and I definitely want to understand a little bit more about your health journey through all of this, but I'm really curious, as a new mom, you have a baby. Is she like 19, 20 weeks? Is she somewhere in that realm?
She's 6 months. So she is, she's 26 weeks as of Tuesday. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you've like, it changes every day. We're talking about this. It changes every week. How has having a baby influenced your work and that entrepreneurial spirit? How have you found some semblance of balance?
Well, when I knew that we were having a baby, Jesse and I had a conversation about the fact that I would definitely be taking a step back from our podcast, the Ultimate Health Podcast. And there was just no way I could keep up with the pace of researching, reading the books, doing weekly interviews, just not going to happen. So I knew I was going to take a bit of a leave and just focus on baby. And to me, honestly, I think I knew somewhere in the middle of my pregnancy that being a mom was going to be my new career, was going to be my new job. I've wanted to be a mom for so long, and it's just something that's just so, it just feels so right in me that even if it meant I wasn't going to work ever again, I'd be okay with that. But I started brewing the idea of, I'm so passionate about being a mom and I'm learning so much along the way. I'm a natural born teacher. I've got to get more information back out to the world. And then I started brewing up the idea of maybe I'll start my own podcast and get
this
information.
You just couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't help myself. And it was just, it was a very natural progression that I was starting to get questions on Instagram. I would just share little things here and there about what I'm learning. And I found this void in some of the information that I was looking for when I was pregnant that just wasn't out there in terms of a comprehensive podcast that focused on natural pregnancy, natural childbirth. It just, there was a lot out there, but nothing that had it all in one place. So Jesse and I kind of kept bouncing around the idea. We're like, well, we could figure this out. And you already know how to podcast. We've got the equipment. We've got the editor. We've got the team. You could do this. And then it was just a matter of when, because when baby came, there was no way I was doing anything. And I was perfectly okay with that. But it took about, it was about 3 months before I was like, okay, I want to get an episode out there. Even if I don't start it yet, I at least want to get an introductory episode out there and just let people know what's happening. And now, we were talking about this before, I kind of was super eager, super excited to get this going, and baby was sleeping really well in the early days. And I was like, okay, I could do this. I could kind of fit a couple podcasts in here and there. And things change every day, every week, as you just said. And now, I've got 6 episodes in the bank, and I think the 7th one is coming out in a couple of weeks. And then I'm just going to reassess and see if I might need to take a little bit of a pause or just kind of, create my own little timeline. And I always said from the beginning when this podcast came out, it's going to be probably every 2 to 4 weeks for episodes to come out. I was easy on myself. There was no way I was keeping up at the same pace that Jesse does with TUHP. So.
But you're leading by example.
Yeah. You know what? You have to be real. And that's my whole mission. And that's, part of my journey. And people who are, if my listeners are following me on Instagram, then I'm very open there about, what's happening in my life and maybe why I can't keep up with, the momentum that I had anticipated. And it's all good. But either way, I'm always going to try and keep up somehow online, whether it's through Instagram or my blog or through some kind of platform just to share my experience. Because as I'm going through this journey of motherhood, there's just so much to learn and so much to share.
What's been your biggest surprise as you've transitioned into this phase of being a mother? Like, what's the one thing you're like, man, I thought it was going to be this way, and it really did surprise me.
Because I'm in it right now, is sleep. Like, I was just really surprised at how challenging it can be to get your little one to sleep, whether it's through naps or through the nighttime. It was so easy early on. I just put her down and she just would sleep for 12 hours. And now it's like, oh my gosh, we got to figure this out. We got to figure out her cues, figure out her circadian rhythm and what's happening and how we maximize her sleep so that she is a functioning little human being, because it's so important to me. And now that I'm realizing, oh my gosh, life with lack of sleep, I've never had such lack of sleep in my life, because I wasn't a girl who pulled all-nighters in university or anything like that. I've always valued and put my sleep at the forefront. And now my nights are dedicated to her. So good news is we're figuring it out. So that's been a big kind of surprise surprise for me.
So how are you compensating for that? Because I too remember that. And I have three kids. And so what I realized with three kids is that they're entirely different. So if one was a good sleeper, the next could be a crummy sleeper. Like there is no, this mm-hmm. isn't genetic and it's not parenting. It's this person and they're teaching you something each time. But I'm curious because you can't control it. I think that was the biggest surprise for me. I was like, I have no control over this little person, even when they're so little. How have you compensating in your own health? Because I know you are a master at self-care despite these pressures. So what sort of areas have you seen, have you upped the ante on in order to compensate for the lack of sleep?
Well, my diet is always there. I don't give in on that. I don't change or crave or be like, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to go pick up takeout because I'm so tired. We always find a way between Jesse, myself, and you know my family members who've helped to prepare meals for us, or there's healthy places around the area that we need to pick up food. So I'm always keeping myself nourished with good fuel. That's 100%. I think why I'm able to function somehow on no sleep. I don't drink coffee. I don't, you know, I'm not loading myself up with any other kind of, you know, uppers or anything to like get me going. There's nothing there, just but my own reserve, which is definitely depleted right now. But I thank my nutrition for keeping me, you know, sane and keeping me somewhat energized throughout the day. And of course I'm on adrenaline, my own adrenaline.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So that's been one thing for sure. And then I try as best as I can to build in a little bit of self-care, which means I've booked a couple of massages here and there. If I can get away and get my mother-in-law or Jesse to watch the babe, finding different ways just to go and take some me time, because it otherwise is just full on here when I'm here with her. So yeah, those are the two things right now that's, you know, within my grasp.
And I think the me time is so important because you can schedule it and you can be in it, but it also is taken away from you at a moment's notice. Mm-hmm. And I found that was one of the things that it took me a while to actually pinpoint and recognize that one of my areas of frustration or more rapid depletion was when I thought I was going to have some me time and I thought I was about to restore and then something happened. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because sometimes you don't know these things till you've crossed the path, right? So many people were saying before we had our kids, go to the movies and take time for yourself and do all those things, but you take it for granted when you can have it at a moment's notice. And I think that those are they're wise words for sure. Marnie, can you share with us a little bit about the transition that you've had in your diet? Because when I met you, you had literally written the book on plant-based diets. And I know this has been an area of significant transition for you. What informed that change in your perspective with respect to food?
Yeah, well, I'll kind of backtrack a little bit. I was very intrigued by the vegetarian diet from a very, very young age. I had a best friend who was vegetarian, and there was something about that whole way of eating that really resonated with me. And it took a couple of years for me to figure it out. And then once I learned everything I needed to learn in terms of what to eat and then the philosophies and the ethics around it, it was like, okay, this is it. I'm definitely going to be a vegetarian. And as I started to learn more, when I went through my schooling as a nutritionist, everything was confirming that this was the way to eat. And it's interesting because it's not like I was eating a bad diet before. I was always relatively healthy with my own little, you know, things here and there. But overall, you know, even if it was the low fat yogurt and trail mix or whatever it was still quote unquote healthy. I wasn't a junk food eater and a fast food takeout girl all my life. So the transition to vegetarianism was pretty easy. And then it was a deep immersion and I felt amazing on it when I made that transition. And it just felt so right in my soul. So when I started educating about it and teaching cooking classes and showing people what it was all about, it just felt so right. But it took about 5 to 6 years before something wasn't feeling right. I was like, questioning, you know, is it my diet or is there something else wrong with my health? I was starting to feel symptoms of digestive upset. I had itchy patches on my skin. I was feeling puffy. I just wasn't as vibrant and energized as I used to be. So I knew something was off and I was seeing a naturopath and I was doing a lot of reading. And I was trying to figure out what's going on. Like there could be something deeper here. I definitely don't think it's my diet because I'm so healthy. when I started to dig a little bit deeper and started to realize that some of the foods I was eating, and even though they were clean and healthy forms of grains and they were soaked and sprouted, I was cooking beans from scratch and eating tempeh as my soy, a lot of these foods can be irritating to the gut when they're consumed, you know, over and over again. And then when I got the diagnosis that I had Hashimoto's thyroiditis and my thyroid was being compromised, I realized that these foods were even more of a hindrance to my health. So there was a lot of navigating, a lot of digging during this time period. And also through the guests on the Ultimate Health podcast, we had a number of guests, you know, back to back that had a similar story. They were vegetarian or raw or vegan for a number of years. Then they had this hiccup in their health, and then they started to change over their diet to something more of like a paleo primal way of eating. And they had these transformations in their thyroid levels, in the way that they were feeling, in their energy, in their vibrancy. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, it keeps slapping me in the face. I've got to do something about this. And it was hard because I was a vegetarian for ethical and health reasons. So I had to get my head really around what that would mean for me to consume eggs, fish, chicken, and red meat again, because they were all out of my diet for so long. So it was when I made that mindset shift that I had to do this for my health and my well-being, and to feel like a better version of me that had somehow diminished over the years. And I looked at these types of foods as a supplement, something I needed to add back into my diet. So it took time. It took the transition back to eating animal protein took, you know, 3 to 4 years. I did it very slowly and I had to really kind of work through it, but it wasn't easy, but it was the right decision. So I don't know if that totally answers exactly what you're asking, but that's kind of a little bit of my story.
No, for sure. How would you define your diet now?
I kind of say paleo-ish because it's and now being a new mom and going through pregnancy, it's kind of, you know, reverted back and forth a little bit, as there was certain foods that I had taken out before that I brought back in. So my diet consists of animal protein. So, you know, wild caught fish and good quality chicken, pasture raised eggs, a little bit of red grass-fed meat, lots of vegetables, root vegetables, nuts, seeds, fruits. And then the grains had come out a couple years ago initially when I was really making these deep changes in my diet. And it was so helpful to bring the grains out at that time. Even though I was eating a lot of gluten-free grains, I needed to kind of eliminate them all completely. And it really transformed my gut. And now I've started to reintroduce a little bit of gluten-free grains here and there. So I found that, especially during pregnancy, I just wanted like noodles, like rice noodles or brown rice. So that came back in and I was surprised to see how well I was able to handle those foods. So now I can eat a little bit of grains, a little bit of beans here and there, you know, some hummus or, you know, some cooked beans, you know, if I'm out at a Mediterranean restaurant or we want to make something at home. So I can do that once in a while. It's just not a staple anymore for me. So it's kind of, yeah, paleo-ish, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense to me. I usually say paleo-esque when people ask me how it is that I eat. But I think the thing that's surprising for so many people when we talk about this is that certainly my paleo-esque diet, and I suspect your paleo-ish diet, is still heavily focused on plants. It's just, for me, it had been a reorientation for the most part around protein and fats.
100%. I still tell people my diet is still plant-based. You know, all these terms get, you know, looped into such categories. But yeah, like everything that I'm eating, and some meals are totally vegetarian or vegan because I desire those foods. But I do find that I do need those, you know, sources of animal protein throughout the day scattered here and there so that I'm getting that nutrition in. And especially when I was pregnant and especially now as a breastfeeding mom, I find that I need those foods to sustain myself.
What's your commentary towards the dogmatism of diets? There's the paleo camp, and then there's the plant-based camp, and then there's the vegan camp, and everyone is so adamant that their diet is right. And I think what's really compelling about your story is you said, I've made this transition. I acknowledged what was happening uniquely for me. How do you speak to the camps when it comes to diet? What's your perspective on that trend that we're seeing?
It's so interesting because, yeah, even though I was so immersed in the vegetarian vegan world for so many years, I was never judgmental. like, this is just, you know, I'm giving you my personal take on from where I was standing in it. I was always educating from, this is what I chose to eat. This is what I feel good on. I do recommend this for you. But if you choose to eat meat, please choose, you know, this quality or this type or whatever. If you choose to eat dairy, please do this. I was always trying to be very open-minded, and I always hoped that other people would be that way too. But that's not the case. People, and even being a vegetarian, I found some people who were vegan in my world quite annoying and quite judgmental, because it was just too far thrown over into the ethical category, where it was a compromise on health, where it was like, okay, let's just eat this refined form of tofu or tempeh, or tofu or soy, shall I say, because tempeh is a clean version. So this refined version of soy, and that's quote unquote healthy. And it's like, no, you're missing the point. So it was really hard for me to somewhat, you know, even when I was in that world, to see the camps. And now, having stepped on the other side completely, where now, you know, once I poo-pooed the paleo diet, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't want to hear about the paleo diet anymore. Now I'm on the other side, and I don't shame vegans or vegetarians. Everyone's got to, you know, carve their own path and do their own thing, because, and that's the most important thing, is that people need to know why they're in the camp, let's call it, that they choose. If they're doing it because they genuinely feel good and that diet is resonating with them, then awesome. Then you don't need to bash other people about it because you feel good on it. You should just be talking about how good you feel, but not shaming other people. So I find that when people are intuitive and know that they're eating the right way for them versus, oh, I follow so-and-so online and this is what they say to eat, and no one, if people aren't following, you know, according to that plan, then, you know, then everything's wrong. And that's what I found. People who are following me on Instagram, the second I spoke out about the fact that I'm not eating vegetarian anymore, it was like, oh my gosh, really? What's wrong with you? And it's like, well, then you're not really following me for the right reasons, or you're not really eating the way that you're eating for your own reasons. You're doing it because I'm saying so. So I think, you know, to really answer your question, I think people need to come back to their why they're choosing to eat the way that they want to eat, and really touching in on how they feel. And that might change. You might feel good on a vegetarian diet for a couple of years, and then you might shift, or vice versa. You might feel great on a keto diet, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I need to go back to, you know, some carbs or some veggies or, you know, whatever it is. And people need to figure that out for themselves. So I'm seeing a bit of a shift, you know, having been in this space for so many years, I'm starting to see a little bit of shift, where there's a little bit of opening and room for people understanding that there's so many commonalities between a lot of these diets. As you said, you know, we're all eating vegetables, we're all eating root vegetables, nuts, seeds, fruit, like that can all be part of it. And then that should be a personal decision for everyone on their own journey.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And as you were talking, just before you said it, I wrote down why, because I think so many people make these choices with respect to their health because it's exciting and it's dopamine driven and it's Instagram inspired without really connecting to why they're making that choice. And I really view the food choices we make every single day as an opportunity to reorient our own personal leadership over and over again. And part of leadership is acknowledging when you need to make a change, because there's rarely one thing that is going to serve you your entire life through all of these different phases of life. So I love that, you know, your journey speaks to that. Again, it's really about emulating that piece, which I think is the most important component to this. But I am truly fascinated by our desire to sit in these camps. I'm so surprised by how many people miss the point of this high vibe diet by engaging in low vibe debate. It's just so ironic.
Yeah, it's so true. So true.
So I just said that I don't want to put us in camps, and yet I'm going to ask you this question. What is the ultimate prenatal diet?
One that is very nutrient dense, one that is focused on foods that give you a lot of bang for your buck. You know, so if you're going to eat something, and even if you're not that hungry, or, you know, I guess I'm talking in terms of pregnancy when you're going through nausea and stuff, that's another story. But you want to make sure that the things that you're eating are really nourishing your hunger cravings, your satiety, and deeply nourishing your organs and your cells, because you want to get your body as primed and ready for growing this baby, this ultimate baby. So I say focus on the fats. Focus on good quality, healthy fats. That's kind of the number one go-to that I always focus on. So things like avocado and coconut and olive oil and nuts and seeds and And then you go into the protein category, which is so important for your body to build and create new tissues. So good quality protein. And then I believe the body and the female body especially does need carbohydrate when they are conceiving or trying to conceive, because your body's just going through so much. If it does actually get pregnant, it's going through so much. And then if you're in the process, your body needs the nourishment from good complex carbohydrates, things like root vegetables and fruits and stuff. So don't try and go keto when you're trying to make a baby. That's just my personal experience. And from what I've heard in terms of how it can impact the hormone levels, and especially thyroid hormone, which is so important for making a baby and conceiving. So I believe just wherever you're going, try and go nutrient dense in all categories of food, including animals and plants.
Yeah, I love that advice. And do you have go-to resources that you send people to from that perspective?
Yeah, there's a great book called Real Food Pregnancy. So that's great, because even the foods, honestly, the foods that you're eating when you're pregnant are the same foods that you should be eating when you're trying to conceive as well. So it's not like, oh, suddenly I got to change my diet. It's like, no, you got to eat the same way. And even in your postpartum period. So Real Food Pregnancy, Mama Natural is an amazing resource. And I actually recently just put out an episode on preconception planning. So I do get into details of that as well.
Amazing. And we're going to send everyone all the details so that they can access the new Ultimate Baby podcast, which is really super exciting. Marnie, how would you define natural pregnancy and natural childbirth? Because we're talking about all the elements that facilitate that. But what does that mean for you when you're sharing that type of terminology?
So to me, it means as little intervention as possible, and to try and keep things as close to, you know, the, I want to say the plan, but I don't want to put that out there because plans do change, but as close to a natural plan as, you know, as one desires. And even if that means going to a hospital or birthing center or whatever that looks like for people, it's keeping it, you know, smooth and keeping it real. And I always go back to the interventions, because that's really where things get shaken up. And not to say that you don't need any interventions during your pregnancy journey or your birthing experience, because things do come up. And even if you have a plan, I had a couple of hiccups along my way where I had to readjust my, you know, thought process as to how things were going to happen versus what I wanted to happen. But it's just being mindful of that and really having a goal in mind of staying true to yourself even throughout the process. So even if things do go a little bit sideways during your pregnancy or during your delivery experience, to keep your mindset strong and to just be okay with whichever way that it goes.
Why is that so important to you?
Because, well, it's a lesson for life as well, right? And we all need to be reminded of this over and over again, because things don't always go as planned. And as long as you can kind of prepare yourself for almost both ways, even though there could be thousands of different ways, but just know that if you have a goal in mind to go one direction, let's say it's a home birth, and that was a direction for me, there was a point that came up where we almost had to go to the hospital. So had I been so determined that I only wanted a home birth and there was no way out of this, I would have gone through the entire delivery experience in a twist, and it wouldn't have been very positive for me or my baby. But knowing that there was a chance that we had to go to the hospital, mentally preparing myself for that, it was like, okay, this isn't my desired outcome, but I knew that it was a possibility. Either way, it's going to be okay. I've got support. I'm going to be fine. You know, we're going to work this through. It's pre-planning that a little bit so that it can ease that transition. Because otherwise, if you're just thrown into a shocking situation without thinking about it or being so in one camp, let's go back to that, that it's like, nope, that's not for me. That's not going to happen. Then it's just going to backfire on you. So don't get me wrong. I would have been very sad if I delivered in a hospital because it wasn't my desire. But I would have been okay with it knowing that I had already thought through the process of it.
Well, and I think what so much of this speaks to is this notion of, again, empowering yourself with respect to whatever journey and whatever decisions it is that you want to make.
Yes.
Versus having it thrust upon you. When you're handed a copy of the Canada Food Guide and you're told this is how to eat, it's just thrust upon you. You've completely disengaged from this tremendous power that you have an opportunity to hold. And my experience with childbirth is that it was one of the most profound experiences of my life. Like, it doesn't, nothing can compare to what that was three times over. But it was, I mean, it was such a tremendous gift. And I think that when society or physicians or whoever you're engaging with respect to your birth sort of say, here's how it's going to be, and you surrender yourself to it, I think you miss out on the opportunity to really capture the breadth of power that's available to you. And in my experience, that has nothing to do with if an intervention happens. It has everything to do with you get to set the intent, whether that's you want to walk straight into the hospital and have an epidural, or you want to have a birth at home. It's from your choosing and from your informed decision-making and from your personal leadership, not because it was just handed to you on a pamphlet.
That's exactly it. And, you know, those are the words that I was kind of looking for before, is exactly that: informed decision-making and having all your information lined up, you know, preparing yourself mentally with all the books and all the knowledge, and then knowing that there's so many ways that you can go, but you have a choice in that matter, and having that intention of the outcome that you want and kind of loosely holding on to that, you know, knowing that that's what you want to keep your hands grasping onto, but just loosen the grip a little bit. Just know that it may happen and hopefully will happen, but it may not. And just being okay with that.
Well, and birth is such as a powerful preparer for parenthood, because I think too, I love listening, and I did it myself before I had kids. I'd be like, and I'm going to do this and it's going to be fine. And I can go back to work if I want, and the baby will sleep at this time. And it just I just smile now when I hear it, because it's part of that journey. But you never know what's going to happen, and you have way less control than you ever anticipated once they come out on the other side.
Yep. Yeah, they rule the show.
So you've made a lot of shifts and transitions in how you are living your life, what you're doing with respect to running your business. I love that what you are outputting into the world is so frequently a reflection of what's being inputted or where you are at in your own life. You guys have moved out of Toronto. You are out of the big city. Of all the decisions that you have made in your life over the last few years, what would you say are like the three most compelling ones in terms of giving you a life that's happening on your own terms?
I think exactly that. I think moving outside the city was so huge for both of us. But, you know, speak from my experience, it was just mentally just so relieving to not be caught up in a busy, hectic city running a brick and mortar business. It was game changing. And at first it was confronting, because I did grow up in a busy city and that's the life that I thought I was going to live. I just didn't see it any other way, until you meet someone who lives in a smaller city and you start to consider what that life could look like. And it was a bit of a process before we figured out that Windsor was where we were going to end up, which is, you know, about 3-4 hours away from Toronto, for those who don't know. And when we started to consider that and consider what that would look like financially in terms of our freedom, our day-to-day living, connecting with friends, it was just like, wow, this could be our life, and we could still make money and we could still do this and this. It was just amazing, because Jesse came out of being a chiropractor, which was, you know, a busy, busy day job, you know, seeing people, and to know that we could both work from home and have this freedom was just amazing. So just so grateful for that decision, because that opened up the doors for me at the time. That's when my health was pretty much at its worst. And when we came to this smaller city, I was able to really focus on my self-care. I was able to take time in the morning and do the things that I needed to do to ease into my day. I didn't have to go rushing off to open up, you know, a cooking studio. I could just ease into my morning, and then, you know, we'd be preparing for interviews, which was nice and spaced out at the time. And it was just a beautiful way to engage with my day, and I could really focus on my healing. So with that move came so many other things, you know, that really allowed me to focus on my health and allowed me to change my diet in a way that was very, very easy, because I could really take the time to cook meals and go grocery shopping now for me and not just for cooking classes. It was just, there were so many things that opened up, and it was just, yeah, the best decision.
Before we jump into the rapid fire questions, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Fullscript. Fullscript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, dispense professional grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. It has the industry's most comprehensive catalog of products, has features like refill reminders and auto reorder, and even sends medically reviewed wellness content to patients on your behalf. I've been using Fullscript in my practice for years, so I have firsthand knowledge of the impact it can have on your patients and your business. First of all, it's super simple to use and loaded with features. Features like EHR integrations, customizable dosage instructions, and an evidence-based protocol library. It makes integrative medicine feel, well, integrated. It incorporates itself into your way of working, with your approach to wellness, even as that evolves, and most importantly, with your patients' day-to-day lives. As someone wanting to address patient adherence, eliminate inventory management, and earn more revenue for your practice, you really should give Fullscript a try. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/walker to start using Fullscript for free today. And if you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about Fullscript. Tell them I sent you.
True to form, you are living what you preach. I love that. And I feel like this is the perfect place to transition the interview to something I call our KPIs. So just like we have KPIs in business, I believe that we have them in how we live our lives as well. So I've got five rapid fire questions for you, if you'll indulge me.
Okay.
All right. First one, what's the most impactful book you've read during the last year?
The Mama Natural book, The Week by Week Guide to Pregnancy.
Love it. What's the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Eating well. Eating good, clean food.
I knew that would be your answer, but I wanted to see if you'd throw me a curveball.
I know.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I don't know. Oh my gosh. There's so many things I could say. Not to be cocky, but there's just so many angles I could go.
You can do them all. It's okay.
Okay. Well, the first thing that came up that was super funny and super random, just because I've been doing it a lot with my little girl, is I can speak Donald Duck.
That's pretty awesome. I'm going to direct everyone to your Instagram to watch for the Donald Duck impersonations.
Oh my gosh. So that's one thing for sure.
That's awesome. What do you do for fun or play?
Many things right now, but right now it's getting on the floor with my little girl and, you know, encouraging her to sit up and playing with all her toys, or going out to the park with Goji, our dog.
I love it. And last question for you, Marnie, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
From my perspective, I think we learn. I think we learn as we go through it. And, you know, that's how it worked for me. And yeah, I loved it.
Marnie, it is always a pleasure. Where can we send people to learn and follow all the things that you're about to right now?
Everything is at MarnieWasserman.com. You can access the podcast through there. You can check me out at Marnie Wasserman on Instagram. And yeah, for sure, go and subscribe to the Ultimate Baby Podcast as well if you're interested in exploring that journey.
Amazing. Marnie, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
First, I want to thank today's sponsor, Fullscript. Fullscript is my favorite and only online dispensary for professional grade supplements. Practitioners can send their patients and give them access to hundreds of different supplements to be delivered right to their door. And for patients, it's the opportunity for you to have access to the highest quality products available without ever having to leave the safety of your home. In this final segment of the show, in our Food for Thought segment, I want to leave you with two ideas, two challenges that came out of this conversation with Marnie. The first is, what motivated your own dietary choices? Was it the science? Was it how you felt? Was it a prescription from somebody else? Was it the government food guide? Was it your mom's way of cooking? And is there an opportunity now to elevate the type of food you are taking into your system? Move it off of autopilot and into a state of conscious eating. There's all sorts of talk about conscious eating these days, but in its most simplistic form, I think it's making food choices that are informed by your own philosophy of self-care. The second thought I want to leave you with, for those who have been eating a certain way for an extended period of time, I want to know this, and to me, this is a question of personal leadership. Would you be willing to challenge your own eating dogma if it meant you would actually feel better? Are you interested in breaking the rules of the diet that you are on in a quest for even better health? Are you sticking to your diet because you identify with the diet, or are you sticking with the diet because it's making you feel your absolute best? We're going to pick up this conversation. We're going to challenge those ideas and those questions over in our Anthropology Collective. This is where everyone is hanging out. I encourage you to come and join us. You can find us on Facebook for free if you go to facebook.com/Anthropology Collective. We're unpacking ideas related to your business, body, and inner badass, and I'd love to see you there.